Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 28, 2020. Coming up this hour.
China expands travel restrictions as the death toll from the coronavirus passes 100.
Identified cases of the illness climb past 4,500, while Germany reports its first patient.
Hong Kong restricts flights and trains from the mainland, while the U.S. raises its travel alert to China.
President Trump's lawyers will wrap up its defense in the impeachment trial today. Plus, investigators say there was no black box on Kobe Bryant's ill-fated chopper. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Roger Federer pulled out another match, another five-setter at the Australian Open. The Devils, a shootout win in Ottawa.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good Tuesday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are rebounding after yesterday's 1.5% decline for the S&P 500. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points this morning, Dow futures up 78, NASDAQ futures up 41, the DAX in Germany's down 0.1%, CAC in Paris little change, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 1.58%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 22 cents at $52.91 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed, up 50 cents at $15.84.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1016 against the dollar, and the yen, 108.83. Nathan.
And Karen, we begin with the latest developments on the coronavirus. The illness has now claimed more than 100 lives in China, while the number of identified cases has risen past 4,500. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Derek Walbank in Singapore.
The WHO is on the ground, is trying to figure things out. You have increasingly, I think, seen governments take a heightened response in, let's say, the last 2 days. Certainly the United States saying that they advised people to reconsider travel to China was a major move. That is not a thing that is done lightly. They also said flat out, don't go to Wuhan. If you're a watcher of U.S. travel advisories, that don't go to is a thing that's typically reserved for like North Korea. So that's the strongest level. And all of mainland China is under one step down from that strongest level.
In addition, Germany has reported its first case of the virus, in addition to infections in France, Canada, and the United States, though each country accounts for fewer than 10 cases.
Questions about detecting the virus are raising concerns among health experts. Dr. Celine Gounder is a professor at New York University's Department of Medicine.
It would appear that the virus was already spreading even as early as October and at least in November. So that means that the virus was spreading undetected. And so we're really only detecting it now because we're looking for it. We have tests for it that didn't really emerge until the end of December. The other key development is that it would seem that sometimes the virus may be transmitting by people who do not have symptoms at all. And that has yet to be confirmed by the CDC. But if you can't figure out who's infected and who might be transmitting, it's very difficult to contain this.
Now has travel restrictions in place for more than 50 million people, while Hong Kong is limiting flights from China. And several nations are negotiating with Beijing to evacuate diplomats, personnel, and citizens from parts of the country.
The spread of this virus is being compared to the 2003 outbreak of SARS, though the impact could be broader. That's according to Thomas Bolicki, senior fellow for global health at the Council on Foreign Relations.
SARS at its height had 8,000 cases. We may already be well beyond that with this current virus. Again, the numbers aren't confirmed, but the modeling suggests we're certainly heading in that direction. So at some point, this conversation becomes less about how do we stop this epidemic from happening and from spreading, and more about what we do with the fact that we are in an ongoing pandemic.
Now, the World Health Organization is stopping short of using such dramatic language. So far, it is declining to label the virus as an international emergency.
For the medical community, there's still much to learn about the coronavirus. Some are pushing for a vaccine, though the timeline for that treatment can be slow. Ian Lipkin is director of the Center for Infection and Immunity at Columbia University.
The challenges with vaccines are that it takes a long time to take them through safety testing and efficacy testing. Therefore, we should probably be thinking in terms of 6 months or more at the earliest before we would have any sort of a vaccine that could be produced and deployed.
Right now in the U.S., 110 people are being monitored for the virus. At last count, there were no new U.S. cases beyond the first five patients identified in the past week.
Now, U.S. stock futures are rebounding from yesterday's declines, but there was no such recovery in Asia overnight. Equities there dropped again in the face of the outbreak. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. South Korean stocks bore the brunt of the selling as the market resumed after the Lunar New Year break, with tourism and cosmetic stocks dumped, mirroring moves in Japan and Thailand on Monday. The Kospi fell more than 3%, its biggest one-day drop since October 2018. Here in Singapore, the Straits Times Index had its biggest one-day drop since May, hit by its role as a barometer of trade flows and a proxy for markets when Hong Kong and China are closed. Elsewhere, the yuan stabilized after a sharp slide Monday that left it at its weakest level since December, and the yen gave up a sliver of recent gains. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. There's concern the coronavirus could derail the global economy. The outbreak comes just as global growth had been stabilizing. Joining us live with details is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. During the 2003 SARS epidemic, Chinese growth slowed 2% from the first to second quarter. Back then, China's GDP was just 4% of the global economy. Today, it accounts for 17% as the world's second largest driver of global growth. It's already clear the virus is hurting consumption and tourism. Industrial production will also be impacted, just as factories would normally get back into full swing following the Lunar New Year holiday. That'll dent economies reliant on Chinese demand. Bloomberg Economics says Asian neighbors and commodity exporters will take the biggest hit. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Again, looking at futures this morning, they are rebounding with S&P futures up about 10 points, Dow futures up 82, NASDAQ futures up 43, 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.58%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.40%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr now to get a check of what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump's lawyers largely avoided the allegation in former National Security Advisor John Bolton's book that President Trump tied aid to Ukraine to an investigation to the Bidens. Yesterday, they sought to determine the House impeachment case, saying firsthand evidence is lacking in the House argument that Trump held up the release of military aid. However, Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz and other members of the president's legal team suggested that Trump's contact with Ukraine's president may have been inappropriate, but
nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of an abuse of power or an impeachable offense. That is clear from the history. That is clear from the language of the Constitution.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer renewed the call to have witnesses testimony at the impeachment trial.
You can sit and listen to all these arguments, but one question looms overhead. If the president did nothing wrong, why is he so afraid of having witnesses and having documents?
Trump's lawyers will wrap up their third and final day of defense today. In Southern California today, the L.A. County Coroner's Office will continue the grim task of recovering remains from the weekend helicopter crash that killed NBA legend Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others. There was no black box on board the Sikorsky S-76B. However, investigators have recordings from ground controllers to go through. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
While the pilot was flying under visual flight rules that require he could see the ground, air traffic control recordings indicate controllers had switched to instrument flight rules, meaning the helicopter had to wait for guidance.
So I got a special VFR helicopter I need to get transitioning. He's been holding for about 15 minutes.
And the pilot made his way, tracking the freeways in sight below him.
118, and I will look around Van Nuys to catch the 101.
Flight data suggests the clouds closed in the final minute before the crash into the fogged-in hillside at around 185 miles per hour. The pilot's last transmission, according to a federal investigator, saying he was climbing to avoid a cloud layer. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court cleared the Trump administration to start enforcing its new immigrant wealth test designed to screen out green card applicants. seen as a risk of becoming dependent on government benefits. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, another Houdini act by Roger Federer, again in a tiebreaker at the Australian Open. Hit it last week in the third round. He trailed in the fifth set tiebreaker 8-4, was 2 points from losing, pulled it out. Now in the quarterfinals facing American Tennis, that's his name, Sandgren. Federer trailed 2-1, faced 7 match points in the fourth set tiebreaker. He pulled it out 10-8, won the fifth set, and now the 38-year-old legend onto the semis, where he's expected to hook up with Novak Djokovic. He's playing now against Canadian Milos Raonic and leading 5-4 in the first set. American Sofia Kenin into the women's semis. She'll face the top seed Ashley Barty. The Lakers and Clippers will not play tonight in L.A. Laker organization said to be in too much grief. The game postponed. The guy who runs the Lakers is Rob Pelinka. He was Kobe Bryant's agent, perhaps closest friend. Devils, a 4-3 shootout win in Ottawa last night in Miami with the now called opening night at the Super Bowl. 49ers quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo has been to the Super Bowl before, but as a backup to Tom Brady in New England, now he's the man, and he has heard from Bill Belichick.
You know, he just, you know, congratulations, things like that. Just, you know, keep the thing going. But, yeah, Coach, we had a great relationship. He was always, you know, great guy, very, very honest, very straightforward, and I always appreciate him for that.
The Pats perhaps wishing they still had Garoppolo with Tom Brady's return next year, not certain. The 49ers and Chiefs will face off on Sunday. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Speaking of that face-off, John, prices for Super Bowl tickets are soaring, the average nearing $9,000. Ticketmaster says the price of tickets purchased through the company are higher than any of the past 6 Super Bowls. Right now, the cheapest seats offered through StubHub or SeatGeek are going for around $4,000. S&P futures are higher by 10 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures a gain of 46 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Kara in Moscow. European stocks are racing gains, while U.S. stock index futures trimmed their advance a bit as China restricted travel to Hong Kong in the latest international effort to curb the SARS-like virus from spreading. The yuan fluctuating and treasuries are higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 11 points, Dow futures up 88, NASDAQ futures up 48. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.58%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 41 cents at $52.73 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 70 cents. It's little changed at $15.84.40 an ounce. The euro, 1.1021 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.3029. And the yen is at 108.84. Today we're watching for reports on durable goods orders at 8:30 Wall Street time. We get a look at home prices from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller at 9 and consumer confidence at 10. Then a busy morning for earnings as well. Pfizer, Lockheed Martin, Apple are among those scheduled to report. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz argued in President Trump's defense at his impeachment trial. Dershowitz says that a crime was required to impeach and remove a president, and that the articles of impeachment against Trump cited no crime. Today is the third and final day Trump's defense team will present their case. China's death toll from the coronavirus that is causing mounting global concern has risen. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
Michael, the coronavirus has now claimed 106 lives. The number of confirmed cases in China soaring past 4,500. Almost all the deaths have occurred in Hubei province. While infections have been reported throughout Asia, as well as the U.S., France, Canada, and Germany, the numbers overseas have been much lower. China has now restricted travel to Hong Kong, stopping individual travels to the territory while closing some border checkpoints and restricting flights and train services from the mainland. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you, sir. The investigation continues into the helicopter crash that killed NBA legend Kobe Bryant and eight others. Tonight's Lakers game at the Staples Center against the Clippers has been postponed to a later date. The NHL returned from its All-Star break. The Devils won along with the Capitals. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thanks. It's 5:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Drew Mattis is with us now, Chief Market Strategist at MetLife Investment Management. Good to have you with us this morning, Drew. Michael mentioned the global concern surrounding coronavirus, and it is certainly causing concern in the markets as well. How are you advising clients to navigate the shifting headlines on the coronavirus spread?
Well, I think people are doing the smart thing, which is they're looking at history and trying to estimate, you know, how bad things could be, and then responding to kind of their worst case scenarios. It doesn't mean that's going to be the right way to have reacted, but it does mean, you know, that at least in this case, there's a template people can work off of. So it's different from a lot of the risks we've been dealing with up until this point, where we didn't really have any way to kind of even build a model for it. And so in some ways, the market's better prepared to deal with this kind of event. But that also means that the market's probably going to take it a little too far.
Too far? How so? What are you looking at?
Well, they're going to take it, you know, they're going to take it to a natural extreme. You know, what is, you know, it starts off with what's the worst that could happen, and then what is the absolute best that could happen? The absolute best that could happen was no one got sick. So we already know that that part of the profile's out. The worst that can happen, you know, leads people to worry about global pandemics. And so people then begin to figure out where in the middle they want to be, and they start assuming that that's where the situation's going to end up. And that's where they begin to, you know, manage their portfolio towards.
And when you have scenarios like that, what are you thinking in terms of levels for the S&P 500 or even the small cap stocks? Are we heading into correction territory, do you think?
I mean, I think people are just, you know, one of the interesting things I noted was before was when people started this year off, everyone comes out with a risk, you know, risks for 2020. And I must have seen a dozen of them cross my desk, and we published our own. In not one of them was there the risk of a SARS reappearance or something similar. And or at least the ones I saw. I'm sure there's someone out there who probably didn't, and I'm going to get a nasty email. but the ones I looked at, not one of them had that as a risk. And so this is really something that caught the market off guard. You know, people were thinking to themselves, okay, impeachment has moved to a point where, you know, we begin to price outcomes for that. The trade story is getting better, so we can begin to price outcomes for that. Brexit is moving along, you know, in one way. So you might not like the outcome you're going to get, but you begin to know where that outcome, you know, the range of possibilities begins to collapse in on itself. And so you can begin to kind of get a better sense of how that might affect markets. And now you've got something that completely takes all those improvements and just throws them to the wind, because now you have something that you didn't think about that's come out of, you know, left field, so to speak. And it's very difficult to actually price it appropriately. I mean, none of us, you know, no one in the market that I'm aware of, you know, studied, you know, biodefense or whatever the heck you would study to make sure that you understood how this system, how this was all going to play out.
All right. So in our last minute, then, what does it take to get the markets back on the rails?
I think it takes, you know, once again, there's such a broad range of outcomes. You need to be able to narrow the outcomes and say it can go, it's going to be, the impact's going to be between here on the low end and here on the upper end. And once we have that distribution, people then just assume it's a normal distribution. You take the midpoint of that, and then you can go back to kind of, you know, looking for signs that you're going to fall outside of that distribution. So what we need is more information, and hopefully better information about exactly what's going on, so that people can make informed decisions.
And as we continue to gather that information, of course, we will continue bringing it to you here on Bloomberg Radio. Drew Mattis, Chief Market Strategist, MetLife Investment Management. Thanks so much for your insights this morning. We do appreciate it. As we take a look at the markets this morning, we mentioned earlier that European shares had pretty much erased gains on the session. S&P futures and broader U.S. equity futures clinging to their modest gains this morning. We have a gain of 10 points in the S&P futures. Dow futures ahead of 81 points. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 45 points. Stock 600 in Europe, little change to lower now. And the 10-year Treasury yield, 1.58%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are pointing to modest gains after yesterday's losses, but we're seeing no such recovery in Asia or Europe. Concern over the coronavirus is spreading as the death toll surpasses 100 and the number of identified cases rises to more than 4,500. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Derek Walbank in Singapore.
You have seen cases going around to countries around China. Most of those happen to be people who have come from China. So this is still very much a China-centric story. However, you are seeing the spread of this start cascading globally, seeing companies try to either A, evacuate people, or you're having companies worry about their supply chains, or companies saying either we're closing stores in the area, as Starbucks has, or saying if you've gone to China and you've come back from China, you shouldn't go to work for at least 14 days.
And now Germany's reported its first case of the virus. That's in addition to infections in France, Canada, and the U.S., though each country accounts for fewer than 10 cases.
There's concern the coronavirus could derail the global economy, just as global growth had been stabilizing. Joining us live with the details is Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Back during the SARS epidemic, Chinese economic growth slowed a full 2 percentage points. At that time, China accounted for a tiny portion of the global economy. Today, it's the world's second biggest economy and accounts for nearly one-fifth of global GDP. Economists agree the most immediate impact will be felt in Asian nations, where the bulk of trade is with China. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Outside the virus, there's a focus on earnings today. More than two dozen companies in the S&P 500 report results, including Apple. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Analysts think the news from the iPhone maker will be good. Forecasts are for broad-based strength all across Apple's product and services lineup. Bloomberg Intelligence says solid demand for the iPhone 11, along with robust sales of Apple Watches, AirPods, and services, likely drove top-line growth of 4.7%. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And S&P futures are up about 8 points this morning. Dow futures up 62 and NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany down about 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.58%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 25 cents at $52.89 a barrel. The euro, 1.1020 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The third and final day for the defense in the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump begins today. Yesterday, even while suggesting that President Trump's contact with Ukraine may have been inappropriate, defense lawyers say that's not an impeachable offense. Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz says he's done further research and concluded that, unlike what he said during the Clinton impeachment, non-criminal conduct does not justify impeachment.
My switch in attitude, purely academic, purely nonpartisan. Nor am I the only participant in this proceeding who has changed his mind.
Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the defense theme is pretty simple.
That the president was actually protecting the Constitution by not complying with subpoenas and providing witnesses.
Because there is and can be no basis in these articles on which the Senate can or should convict the president on what is alleged, the president must not be removed from office.
Trump defense attorney Robert Ray, but the report that the president directly told John Bolton to withhold Ukraine aid unless there was a Biden investigation has some Republicans, like Mitt Romney, rethinking things.
I think at this stage it's pretty fair to say that John Bolton has a relevant testimony.
Even Lindsey Graham says he'll reconsider, but would want to call other witnesses as well. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
NTSB investigators say the helicopter in which Kobe Bryant and eight other people died Sunday was not equipped with crash-proof voice and data recorders. NTSB member Jennifer Homedy says the pilot of the aircraft requested permission to climb to avoid a cloud layer.
Radar data indicates the helicopter climbed to 2,300 feet and then began a left descending turn. Last radar contact was around 9:45 a.m., and is consistent with the accident location.
Homedy says she is confident the cause of the crash would be determined. President Trump is set to unveil his administration's much-anticipated Mideast peace plan in the latest U.S. effort to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. President Trump plans to present the proposal alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at noon today in Washington. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Roger Federer, for the second time in the last three matches, ever so close to losing at the Australian Open. He was 2 points from defeat in the third round. Now in the quarterfinals against American tennis Sandgren, Federer faced match point seven times, won them all. Another five-set victory. Now at age 38, he's into his 47th career Grand Slam semi. Novak Djokovic playing right now. He won the first set from Milos Raonic, and he's up 4-1 in the second. Women's quarterfinal victories for the top-seeded Aussie Ash Barty and American Sophia Kennan. LeBron James with a lengthy Instagram post, his first comments on Kobe Bryant. He said he promises to continue Kobe's legacy. LeBron and the Lakers were scheduled to play the Clippers tonight. The game postponed as the Lakers continue to grieve. They are expected to play Friday at home against Portland. The Devils were in Ottawa. They won 4-3 in a shootout. Big storyline at the Super Bowl. Will Andy Reid get his first championship? Sixth all-time in wins. 15 times in the playoffs. Only once before did Reid even make it to the Super Bowl, and that was a Philadelphia loss 15 years ago. Now another chance with the Chiefs. The 49ers coach is Kyle Shanahan.
Andy's unbelievable. He's always been. And the more talent Andy gets, the better he even is. And he's got a lot of talent. He's got a great quarterback. He's got a lot of speed out there, and they deserve to be where they're at.
Shanahan, 21 years younger than Reid. Both teams met the media last night in Miami. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on Tesla CEO Elon Musk taking drastic steps to silence short sellers. Dana Hull wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
You know, there's sort of a public narrative and a public perception of Musk, and then there's sort of a counter narrative that a lot of people don't know, but that a pretty dedicated community subscribes to, and these people have done their research.
Read those narratives and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit youtube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It's just before 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, New York City retailers charged with violations could have their fines forgiven if they open their restrooms to the public. According to a report in the city, the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection has issued a study this month on a proposed penalty mitigation program for retail establishments and determined the concept could work. Banks have been reducing their physical presence across the country. New York City's no exception. In Manhattan, the number of branches jumped about 50% between 2002 and 2009, according to the FDIC. Since then, branch count has fallen about 5% with a 2.5% drop over the past 2 years. The CEO of a Hartford organization that serves people with intellectual disabilities has been named to oversee Connecticut's fledgling Paid Family and Medical Leave Authority. Andrea Barton has led HARC since 2013. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Former Boeing CEO Dennis Muhlenberg has resigned from the board of Caterpillar.
I'm Tom Busby, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'll be reporting on the organic grocery store chain Lucky's filing for bankruptcy.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on decision day for the government over allowing Huawei into the new 5G network.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, we're watching for earnings from 3M.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple told suppliers to make more iPhones than they did last year.
Those are some of the stories. Our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's not just 3M reporting earnings today. We get results from 27 companies in the S&P 500, including Pfizer, United Technologies, Starbucks, eBay, and Apple. Later this week, we hear from Boeing, Tesla, Facebook, Microsoft, and Amazon. Very busy week on the earnings calendar. You can check it anytime on the Bloomberg terminal by typing ACDR go. S&P futures higher by almost 9 points now. Dow futures up 74 points. NASDAQ futures a gain of 40 points. Stock 600, little change to the downside now. 10-year treasury up 5/32nd, yield 1.58%. 2-year treasury yield 1.41%. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit them anytime at mynycb.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks are racing their gains while U.S. stock index futures trimmed in advance as China restricted travel to Hong Kong in the latest international effort to curb the SARS-like virus from spreading. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points now, Dow futures up 86, NASDAQ futures up 45, the DAX in Germany. It's little change. 10-year treasury up 5/32nd, yield 1.58%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 10 cents at $53.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 90 cents. It's up less than 0.1% at $15.84.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1017 against the dollar. British pound 1.3013. And the yen is at 108.86. And we are watching for reports on durable goods orders at 8:30 Wall Street time. We also get a look at home prices from S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller at 9 and consumer confidence at 10. And Apple is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Trump's lawyer suggested that his contact with Ukraine may have been inappropriate, but Trump's legal team is saying that's not an impeachable offense. Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz also argued on the Senate floor last night that Democrats adopting the view that impeachment does not require a crime are acting like they're above the law. In a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court cleared the Trump administration to start enforcing its new immigrant wealth test, designed to screen out green card applicants seen as being a risk of becoming dependent on government benefits. The investigation continues into the helicopter crash that killed NBA legend Kobe Bryant and 8 others. Tonight's Lakers game at the Staples Center against the Clippers has been postponed to a later date. The NHL returned from its All-Star break. The Devils won along with the Capitals. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Now let's get the latest developments concerning the coronavirus outbreak in China that has now claimed more than 100 lives. John Lauerman joins us from our London bureau. He's a Bloomberg News health editor. Let's begin with what we know so far, John, about this outbreak. It's not just the rising death toll, but the dramatically increased number of confirmed cases in China and in spots around the world.
Yeah, the case count has risen over 4,500 now. Latest I've seen stands at 4,515, and the death toll is at 106 right now. There's 45 cases, I believe, outside of China in 13 countries. The virus doesn't appear to be spreading in most of those countries where it has appeared. That is, there's no secondary transmission for the most part, although there has been one reported case in Vietnam of the virus spreading once it was in another country. And we just heard from Germany. It was just a press conference in Germany just a few minutes ago where a reporter was there, and evidently they believe that a woman who traveled from China may have infected a man in a coworker in her office somehow. So these are things that still remain to be investigated, I think. But I think there's more and more concern now about spread outside of China, you know, given these new cases.
And dig in a little bit to some of the questions that still surround the virality of this virus and just how dangerous it might be, particularly its incubation period. There have been some questions about how long this virus can keep from showing symptoms, but still allow people to pass it essentially undetected.
Yeah, I think that's a really important question. This is something WHO is still looking into. Obviously, if you don't know somebody's infected, if they don't know that they're infected, then there's much more likelihood of transmission taking place, particularly when people are in crowded areas. That's why a lot of people in China right now are walking around with masks on. They feel like they don't know who might be infected, who might be healthy.
Do you get the sense at this point that China has applied lessons learned from the SARS outbreak more than a decade ago and applied it to this new outbreak of coronavirus?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, the measures that they've taken around Wuhan are really unprecedented. When you tell 35 to 40 million people that they're going to have to stay home, that they can't go visit their relatives and their loved ones during the Lunar New Year, which, as you probably know, is the biggest holiday in China. It's a week-long holiday where typically people travel for pleasure. They travel back to their original communities to see their families, and to tell those people that they can't travel it's just a huge, huge step. I mean, we're talking about, practically the size of California. I mean, it's just a huge, in terms of population, a huge number of people are being restricted in their travel right now. And Carrie Lam, I believe, has just closed some border checkpoints between Hong Kong and China. So the restrictions that they're putting in are extremely real. They're definitely taking this much more seriously than they ever did with SARS.
All right, Bloomberg News health editor John Lauerman, thank you so much for joining us this morning to give us the very latest on coronavirus. We'll have much more and all the developments out of China, the rest of Asia, and those a few patients you mentioned in Europe, as well as here in the United States, as we continue through the days and weeks ahead here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Federal Communications Commission will let Google, Sony, and two other companies oversee private sector use of 5G-friendly airwaves. The companies will have to avoid interference with Navy ship radar and commercial satellites that already use the frequencies.
An American Airlines executive testified at an antitrust trial that Sabre's proposed acquisition of Farelogix would likely raise fares and make it harder to book flights on American. And the California Assembly passed a bill to exempt diapers and feminine hygiene products from the state's sales tax.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now our big legal story this week, the latest in the Senate impeachment trial. Lawyers for President Trump yesterday avoided the explosive allegation from John Bolton that the president tied aid to Ukraine to an investigation of a political rival. For more on the proceedings, Bloomberg's Dean Grasso speaks with Neil Kinkoff, a professor at Georgia State University College of Law and former counselor to Joe Biden at the Clinton impeachment trial.
How important is what people are calling the bombshell information about John Bolton's book?
It's crucially important because there is a mountain of evidence that would lead any fair-minded person to believe that President Trump created a quid pro quo, that he was withholding the aid in order to get investigations. But his defenders have said over and over again, there is no direct evidence. No one testified that they directly were told that. It was either their presumption, it was their understanding, but it was never expressly stated. Well, for people who want to hang on to that thin reed, Bolton's evidence completely destroys it, because the reporting is that he is saying that Trump told him directly that there was a link between releasing the aid and the beginning of those investigations.
Reportedly, John Bolton is a copious note taker.
I think it bolsters his credibility. So he has notes, and there's nothing that would prevent him bringing those along with him to the Senate. They don't appear to be property of the federal government that can be forbidden to him. And those can corroborate the statements he's making about what the president told him.
Let's just say that they decide to allow some witnesses, at least to call John Bolton. In the end, there aren't going to be enough Republicans to call for Trump's removal from office. So then is it just an exercise in futility to have Bolton testify?
Oh, goodness, no. It is crucial to have Bolton testify. First of all, remember who John Bolton is. He is a conservative and a Republican to his core. He is not a liberal. He is not part of any deep state. For him to come forward with this testimony is going very much against his interest, against his orientation, against his loyalties. And so the credibility of that evidence is very, very high. And it's important for the public to hear that, because when the public goes to vote next November, it's important that the public know if, in fact, Donald Trump is on the ballot, as it appears he will be. It's important for the public to know this.
And that's Georgia State University law professor Neil Kinkoff speaking with Bloomberg's Dean Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures higher up 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 39. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 1.59%. And the yield on the 2-year at 1.41%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 20 cents at $52.94 a barrel. And COMEX gold, little changed, up 90 cents at $15.84.60 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.